Okay, we're in Revelation chapter 8, and we were there. The last time we were here, we looked at the prayers of the saints, the importance of prayer, if you remember.
Yeah.
And that was from 8:1 to 8:4. That with the seventh seal was opened, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour, and we could speculate what that silence was. May very well be just the solemnness of that moment, knowing that judgments were coming. The glory of God, seeing the plan of God being revealed. In one sense, a lot of us could be silent in the presence of God when we're just being awestruck by Him. But there was silence at this time, and the seven trumpets were given. Before the trumpets were blown, we saw that this angel took the incense and offered it with the prayers of the saints on the golden altars before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. And when we look at that passage, we saw how vital and how important prayer was. That we see here, remember that the saints are not just believers in who have been so-called designated saints by somebody. Every Christian is a saint. That the prayers of the people of God are paramount, that they are in heaven, that God hears prayer, God responds to prayer, God answers prayer, God smells prayer. Smell is a powerful thing. And even here, giving this picture of how the smell of the prayers of the saints are rising up in the nostrils of Almighty God, and that He's hearing those prayers. We saw earlier that God kept prayer in bowls in chapter 5. Now, we know that there's symbolism involved here. It's not that there's a big bowl there with a bunch of prayers swimming around in a bowl, but it's the manifestation of the fact that those prayers that are offered up to God are heard, and they're preserved, and they're kept in the presence of God.
Remembered.
They're remembered. Remembered, and they're responded to, that God hears prayer. So this opens up just windows of opportunity for us. We're not going to go into this again tonight, but let's go to the next slide. I'll just point to you when it's time, so it doesn't get all on the tape. And we saw when the angel took the censer filled with fire from the altar, and that was the censer that had the prayers of the saints in it. Okay? That he threw it to the earth, and there was noises and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And that tells us something, that prayer is powerful. I mean, there's certainly, you can get that from this passage, that the prayers of the saints of God affect what goes on down here. We see that the prayers rose up to God. They were taken by the angel. They went into the nostrils of God, and yet they were thrown down to the earth in that sense. And as the censer filled with fire from the altar and threw it to the earth, and there was noises and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And so there's the mighty power of God comes through prayer. So as we rise up prayers to God, God answers down here. So heaven is almost like the through duct to bring prayer to its fruition, and He answers the prayer to come. But it also gives the picture of judgments here. It gives the picture that things are going to happen. Remember, it was one of the cries of the saints that had been slain who were beneath the altar of God. I believe it was in Revelation chapter 5. How long, O Lord? How long before judgment comes? How long before justice is done? We can see even a picture of that beginning to happen here. And so in Revelation 8:6, so the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And the first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. So it's getting serious, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Now, there certainly seems to be a correlation here between heaven and earth. And that the judgment of God is coming. Is there anything parallel that you read of anywhere else in the Bible where you find these kinds of judgments? We're going to look through them, but Is there anywhere where we know where God executed fantastic judgments?
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Okay. Yes, there was fire that came down from Sodom and Gomorrah. It doesn't say hail in Sodom and Gomorrah, but is there another place? Hail and fire and
brimstone.
Huh?
And brimstone? No.
There was fire and brimstone in Sodom and Gomorrah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was.
When you look at the plagues here, how about this, the sea turning into blood and the second angel sound?
The plagues were in the wilderness.
Were they in the wilderness?
Egypt.
Huh?
In Egypt.
In Egypt.
In Egypt, yeah.
Yeah. The plagues fell on Egypt, right? And remember how, as the plagues fell on Egypt, what happened with the Israelites?
They were protected.
They were protected. Mm-hmm. Remember that, right? Because if people... I am one who believes that we will go through the tribulations of the last days. I don't believe we're going to get zapped out, you know, beforehand. But I do believe that God will protect His own. That doesn't mean we won't experience tribulation. Of course we will. But the certain judgments are going to fall. And we find that in Revelation. Certain judgments are going to fall on those who take the mark, for example. And those who go in the direction of serving Satan. Those ones will receive certain judgments where others will not. And so God has His ability to preserve. We saw Him setting a seal, remember, on the 144,000. And people have taken that number literally, but we've looked at it and said, you can't take it literally and say it is the 12 tribes of Israel, because it wasn't.
Right.
It wasn't the actual 12 tribes of Israel. But it certainly can be a picture of all the saints of God, or it could be a picture of a group of people who are serving God. Maybe they are particularly Jews. But whatever it is, we know that God set a seal on them. And we'll find even later as we look through the Revelation that the ones that had the seal on them were protected from certain plagues that came.
In verse 13 it says, terror, terror, to all who belong to this world. So we don't belong to this
That's
world.
The picture,
so,
that's right.
So we,
that's the picture that's mm-hmm. given there, yes. And we'll get there, but that's the idea of it, that these are judgments coming on the world on those who refuse to bow to Jesus Christ. And as I said earlier, we have to think about these judgments and understand that there's a purpose to it. This world will not continue forever. As it comes to its close, God is actually, it's an act of mercy that He brings judgments. Because it would be far better to experience the judgments of God now and be brought to repentance than to experience everlasting punishment from the presence of God afterwards. Now, it's kind of difficult to look at some of these judgments and say, it doesn't sound like mercy to me when everything is being destroyed. But everything will be destroyed. But it's progressive. Now, God could come in a second and destroy the whole thing. Poof, it's all done. It's all gone. He could do that. But it is mercy that He didn't. It is giving people space. It is giving them opportunity to repent. It is bringing things to the apex where either you're going to fall on this side of the line or on this side of the line. You're either going to stop and worship God or you're going to commit yourself completely to the devil and his ways, even in the face of the judgments of God. What's remarkable as we read this is that people refused to repent. Refused to repent in the face of the judgments of God. That's remarkable. But it's also a testimony that unless the heart is genuinely changed, it will follow the devil straight into hell. Straight into hell. What a tragedy it is. But it's the truth of the matter. So when the first angel sounded, we see this judgment of hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. Now, however this manifests itself, it certainly seems like dramatic lightning or something like that. However it manifests itself, it's going to do a lot of damage from what we read here. A third of the trees burned up and all the green grass was burned up. That doesn't sound very hopeful, does it?
says one third, though, it means that there's some that don't burn up.
Yes, there was. Well, it's not finished.
No, it's not finished.
That's right. There is progression, as we said earlier. Yeah. There was still something left, and the thing about grass. You burn it today, what happens to it by tomorrow?
It grows back.
It grows back. So there, and we will find there'll be grass a little bit later on again. So this was a judgment, but it wasn't the final. It wasn't the fullness of complete destruction immediately. But it was certainly a judgment. The other thing to stop and think about, and probably this would be fit in more with some who would say that all of these things have been happening and will continue to happen to the end, and to some degree that's true. We are living in a day where the world is already being destroyed. Is already it would be safe to say that a third of the trees are already gone, maybe more, maybe 50% of the trees that were once on this planet. They've been just raped off, cut off, burned off. Go down to South America and the great Amazon forest has been cut down and burned down. They've raped the land. They've tore it all off and burnt it up. So I'm not saying that that's the fulfillment of this, but I am saying that when you stop and look at our world and what has already taken place, for example, it says in another passage a little bit later on, Revelation 8:9, it says a third of the living creatures in the sea died and a third of the ships were destroyed. Well, I think we'd be safe to say that the population of fish that were in the sea 100 years ago, the amount of fish that are in the oceans now compared to 100 years ago is probably more than a third gone.
Yeah.
Probably two-thirds gone from what there once was. As great and huge as the ocean is, we've managed to do a number on it. Mm-hmm. But so what I'm saying is that even many of these afflictions we've brought on ourselves. People would turn around and blame God for bringing judgments when we have done more destruction to the earth than what we read here over a period of time. I think you jumped ahead, hon. Yeah. I wanted to stay here for a second. Yeah, the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became as blood. Now, whether it was literal blood, or when John is seeing a vision and everything is turned red, it looks like blood, right? And remember that there is symbolism involved here. But it certainly seems a great destruction. And when you see something like a great mountain burning with fire, what does it make
volcano.
You think? Okay, a volcano. What else might it be?
Meteor?
More like a meteor.
Oh, okay.
A burning mountain.
Yeah.
Like a huge rock on fire. Possibly the fall of a meteorite, and that meteorite maybe it dispersed as it came down, and pieces of it went in different areas, and it caused a devastation in the ocean, a boiling up of it, whatever. And it says a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. I don't know how many ships there are on the water at one time, but there must be thousands and thousands and thousands of them. But we're talking about cataclysmic devastation. Yeah, this isn't a nice fairy tale tonight, is it? It's rough stuff. Next. Okay. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died. Third of the ships were destroyed. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven. This one seemed like a meteorite as well, like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and the springs of water. Now, however this reveals itself, you can read 20 commentaries, and everybody's got a different opinion about what it is and how it works. It could be a meteorite that falls, that breaks up, and spreads over a huge part of the earth, lands on the fresh water, and somehow it poisons it, because the name of the star is Wormwood. And a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. The word wormwood means bitterness, and you find it in the Old Testament, that word used, speaking of something almost poisonous. And obviously this water was poisonous. Again, would it be safe to say that we poisoned about a third of the waters of the earth? Probably more. And so, you know, the things that we see here, in one sense, a lot of them we've done already ourselves, and yet God says, enough is enough. Judgment is coming. I'm going to pour out my judgments on this world. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars. Now, I don't think that it's saying that a third of the sun disappeared. I think it is giving us here is that a third of the light that the sun once produced disappeared, whether through ash in the sky from volcanoes, meteorites, we don't know. I mean, one volcano can block out, can have a huge effect on the whole of the Earth's atmosphere. We've seen that happen already in our own lifetime. And so it speaks here that the visibility of the sky, a third of them were darkened, and a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. So that the sky visibility, the ability for the sun to shine on the planet, the ability to go out and look up at the stars, you're not going to see them. You're going to see a lot less of them, because whatever is blocking in the atmosphere has come, and it could very well be from... we know that it's a judgment of some kind. How God does this, I have no idea, but he can do what he wants. He didn't stop there. And I looked and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound." In other words, if you think this is bad, there's a lot more to come. There's a lot more to come. There are a lot of people who are worried and afraid and wondering, you know, the way things are happening in our world, what's next? And that's not an unhealthy thing for people to be stirred about, you know, what's going to happen. Now this angel flying through the midst of heaven is not saying here that he's saying it to the people on the earth. And I think some translations actually say an eagle.
Yeah,
you have it there. Yeah. And so whatever the symbolism of that, some translations use eagle, some use angel. But it doesn't say here that everybody in the earth heard this eagle doing this. This is John seeing a vision. It is let's say this is a bird's eye view of the situation. About how the impending judgments that are to come are even more. There's more to come, in other words. This is not over. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, it's tough right now, but it's going to get better. Things will get better. You know, things are going to get better. And sometimes that's true. Not this time. Not this time. There is a time when the book is closed. There is a time when the heavens are going to be rolled up as a scroll. There is a time when this old weary earth will have its last gasp. And that time is what we're looking at here. The time of the end. And so it's not like, it's going to get better after a while. Yeah, it's tough now, but it'll be better later. It is for the believer, but for the unbeliever, boy, it's not good. For the believer, we can say, with Jesus Christ, lift up your heads, for your redemption is very near. But you can see now, as we begin to see these things unfold, how much is it going to matter how much you own? What's it going to matter? How much money you have in the bank, or nothing, none of that, none of it's going to matter anymore. And in one sense, tonight, none of it matters now either. Set your affection on things above and not on things on earth. Don't allow the things of earth to fill your mind. Set your affection on things above, because you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Colossians, you guys read that last week, didn't you? Colossians chapter 3. Put it all aside, because it's set your affections here, not there, not on things on earth, because this is where we are. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Wonderful promise, right? This is where we go. This is the reality of it. And this here is just showing us all this is going to go. All of it's going to be burned up. Now, we know that's the case for all of us. We know, you know, you have no point in putting any money in your coffin. It's not going to get you there, right? It's not going to get there ahead of you. It's a done deal, right? When the last chapter of our life closes off here, we don't take anything with us. Naked I came in, Job said, naked I go out. And that's exactly the way it will be. So let's set our affection on things above now. Let's take the truths of Revelation and the perspective on the things that are left in this world and realize it's all getting burned up. It's all getting burned up. It's not going to be here for long. So let's set our affections there. Then the fifth angel sounded, Revelation 9:1. And I saw a star fallen from heaven to earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. Now we see a shift. I just want to mention, too, when you look at chapter 8, if you take the time to read Revelation chapter 16 on the bowls of judgments, you're going to find parallels, almost the same parallels of judgments that are happening here happen with the bowls. So some would say that the bowls and the trumpets are actually simultaneous. They may or may not be, but no, there's different things that are happening there. But remember that it can be that Revelation is layers of the same event, right? Looking at it from different perspectives and seeing different aspects of it. Just like the gospel is like four layers of the same event, but each one has a different perspective on that same story or whatever it might be. So, but when you look at the similarities, it's quite startling to see the similarities in the judgments in 13 and that are in 8. But when we hit chapter 9 here, the fifth angel sounded and the star fallen from heaven to earth, we come into now something, well, some would say much more bizarre. But we see a spiritual element here that you don't necessarily see in the other ones. A demonic element begins to reveal itself in chapter 9. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven to earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke rose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. And out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, or any green thing, or any tree, but only those men who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Again, there have been many possible explanations. Some people said, oh, they're helicopters. Others say they're, you know, whatever. They're, you know, mechanical things. And later on, we see the description of them, or is it in this passage here where it gives the, no, a little bit later we get the description of them. But there seems to be a spiritual element here, that there's demonic powers at work, and there's judgment that's coming on people. How that's going to manifest itself, John sees this vision, I don't know. It's difficult to explain that or to figure it out or to get that down pat. But there's certainly something that we see happening here, that this is not a physical judgment on the world, whereas the other ones were, right? The other ones was the grass, the trees, the ships. Now, people, of course, were going to die as a result of that. Many of them died, everything else. But this is specific. And it's specific to who?
The lost.
The lost. The ones who are not sealed. Now, when we go back to Revelation and we find the 144,000 sealing, if that sealing involves all the people of God, which I believe it does, it's representative, I believe, of the church of God, the fullness of the church of God, then we see that this judgment does not fall on the church of God. It does not fall on the people of God. Whether someone believes that the church is all going to get raptured out before the tribulation, they still believe there's going to be believers who will come to know the Lord during the tribulation. They will be protected. Or if the church of God goes through the tribulation, they will be protected. Amen. The protection of God is evident here, that there was a command that they could not harm certain things. And so there was limits to what this judgment could or could not do. Remember that this was a release that God was releasing. God was allowing these judgments to happen. Next. But they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. So it's obvious that this judgment is a serious affliction, but it's not enough to kill them, but it's to leave them in actual horrible agony. It's not getting better, is it? Horrible agony.
Why couldn't they take their lives?
That's a good question. I mean, people are we're legislating taking our own lives now. We have no idea whether God will prevent that from being able to happen supernaturally, or whether the idea behind it is that this affliction will torment them, but it won't kill them. It will leave them in a tortured place. But the fact that they would seek death and not find it, desire to die and death will flee from them, certainly brings a supernatural picture that somehow God will prevent them from being able to even take their own lives. This is almost like hell has come to earth. You know, you heard anybody say that?
Yeah.
Oh, the only hell there is here. This earth is hell. I've heard people say that over and over again. Well, wait a little longer and see if you want to see what it's really like. Then he gets into a description. Now remember, this is John seeing this vision. He's only describing what he sees. That's not saying that he understands what it is, or that we understand what it is, because he says the shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. And they had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and they were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men for 5 months. Okay. I'll give you three guesses. Tell me what it is.
What is what? That?
Yeah.
Okay.
People have been guessing for thousands of years. Yeah. And there's not even anything today that matches this.
But they make movies about this stuff, huh? Mm-hmm.
That look like it, yes.
Yeah. Well, I've never watched them, but I don't like them. But
I yeah.
You see them here and there.
Yeah. They do. And they're pretty bizarre.
They're scary.
Yeah. Maybe John got a vision in front of, and he was in a movie theater and he saw a movie like that. Do you think?
No.
I don't think so. That's true. They do. But here, however these things are, and look, who knows, the genetics that people are fooling around with and the crossbreeding that they're doing and crossing boundaries they shouldn't cross, what in the world they might come up with. Given enough time and enough foolishness, who knows what they might end up breeding that'll come out and destroy people in terrible ways. Some of these afflictions, remember, it seems as if this star that falls down is a person. It seems like it is probably Lucifer or Satan who is the ruler of this world, the Bible says. And so he manipulates things and works, and unsaved people, they don't have any boundaries. They think that Christianity and morals are stopping the progress of the world. You know, let's experiment. Let's take fetuses and do stuff with them and manipulate and inject and see what we can come up with and make a super race, or who knows what they're going to end up doing. And even the poisons that we put in the atmosphere, that now they're saying that these sprays that they've been using for years are killing all the bees on the planet. They're trying to stop these from using these particular chemicals because of what they're doing. So whatever these things are, I wouldn't want to meet them. Would you?
The problem is they stop using one poison and they make another one.
They make another one,
To replace it.
Yeah.
The next one is just as bad.
Yeah, but it takes 20 years to find out what it's actually done. That's the thing. So, so their power was to hurt for 5 men for 5 months, but not those who were believers in Jesus Christ. Why that is? Supernatural. So there's a supernatural power that will be released that will cause some kind of affliction. One thing it doesn't say here is how big these things are. Maybe they're only this big. When you vision it, when you read that, you're probably thinking something as... You're probably thinking something as big as a, you know...
A horse.
Yeah.
Horses, it says.
Yeah, but it doesn't... It doesn't... The shape of the locust was like horses. So we don't know how big they are. You know, they could be small bugs that go out and cause tremendous damage and affliction and bite people. Like, what's that new Zika? No, what's that virus
Zika.
Now that they're
Zika
virus or whatever? You know, it could be anything like that. It's certainly going to be a plague of epic proportions that's going to afflict the people of the world who do not believe in God. There's no question about it.
There's an island. I don't know if it's Bermuda or one of them. Apparently, they do have something like a fly.
Yeah.
It's fairly long, and it takes off from quite far. You can see it coming at you.
Yeah.
And if it gets you, it's one powerful sting.
You're in trouble. There's a lot of creatures already around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't need more.
But we can see here again the spiritual references here, and they had as a king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the same Apollyon, and this would be Lucifer or Satan, just the Greek names for Lucifer or Satan. And so we can see that Satan has this power, but notice that Satan's power is limited, right? It's limited. He cannot touch the people of God who have been sealed by God. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. Remember, the angel said, woe, woe, woe. And he wasn't talking about stopping horses either. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. So, again, there's a spiritual aspect here. There's four angels who are waiting for their time to do their task. The fact that they're bound at the great river Euphrates, what that means, I can't tell you. I mean, is there a, you know, if you go down the river Euphrates, are you going to go somewhere? If you dug enough and looked around, would you find an angel bound there? I doubt if you would. I think that there's pictures here. Maybe when you think about the great river Euphrates, that was considered the cradle of civilization. That is considered roughly very close to where the Garden of Eden would have been in the beginning. And so that even at the beginning of time, the beginning of this world, God saw all of this, the history of the world, and the day would come when from that very same place where sin started, that judgment would come. More judgment would come. And in this case, a third of mankind. And we see again more judgment, more falling on them. So that's a third of mankind that's left, remembering that the others were not killed, but they were sickened. They were afflicted, but they didn't die. But now they're dying. Now there's a judgment that has come, killing a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. When it refers to the horsemen here, we don't know where it would come from, except the reference to horses previously, but it doesn't say they were horses, it said they were like horses, right? And so suddenly there's this army of 200 million, and I heard the number of them, which is an incredible amount. And there I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, sulfur yellow, and the heads of the horses were like heads of lions, and out of their mouth came fire, smoke, and brimstone. So it sounds like there was 200 million of these creatures, riders on horses that weren't horses, right?
I saw horses, it says.
Yeah, but I saw the horses in the vision and those who sat on them. And the heads of the horses were like heads of lions. So they ain't just horses, okay? Horses with lions' heads, okay? And out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone, right? So, again, these pictures are so out there that, Honora, I think you better start watching some of them movies. So.
I'll read my Bible.
Okay. This is enough, is it?
Yeah, that's
enough. It's enough. Okay. And so I can't tell you what they are. Some people have said, well, China now has a standing army of 200 million. They boast a standing army of 200 million. And it does say that this army comes out of the east. I think, did it say that here somewhere? Where? Go back one. Is it in this one here? No, I guess it's a little bit later. So it says then, by these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire, the smoke, and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm. So they have this these creatures that look like horses but aren't, have this ability from to do power from their mouth and their tails to kill. And the tails are like serpents having heads. With them they do harm. Pretty amazing kind of descriptions of creatures here. Are they symbolic or are they literal? Some people say they are one. Some people say they are the other. What we certainly can say about it all is that God is going to pour out horrible judgments on this world like the world has never seen. Awful judgments. And that it is space and it is opportunity for people to repent. What do we find in Revelation 9:20? But the rest of mankind, who were not killed by these plagues, did not repent of the work of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. There's a reason why God's going to judge. And there's the reason right there. God will judge. The list that's given here, if you look in Revelation 9:20, you'll find that the first one is covetousness, which is idolatry. They did not repent. Even those who were not killed, there they were, watching horrible judgments fall on the others. And it's just like, we're going to keep on doing what we're doing. So covetousness and greed is really what you see, I think, in Revelation 9:20. Murder, they don't repent of their murders. That is the killing of others, the hatred of others. Remember, hatred is murder. Just the absolute mire and dirt of sin. Sorceries, what do you think sorceries are?
Witchcraft.
Okay.
Believing another. Believing in
voodoo.
Demonic.
Practicing voodoo.
Okay, voodoo. Yeah.
And
all in there.
The ones that believe they're in the newspapers all have
horoscopes.
Okay. Did you know that the word sorcery is actually this? Pharmakia. The word sorcery is actual, the Greek word is pharmakia. And it is the deception of the mind through the use of drugs.
Cocaine and all those drugs. All the hard drugs.
What's that?
All the hard drugs. Cocaine.
Well, it
can be both.
It can be both. Mm-hmm. It can be, I mean, when you say the hard drugs, the hard drugs are being used in all different circumstances. I'm not saying that all drug use is bad. There's medicinal purposes with some drugs. But the use of drugs to deceive the mind is rampant in our society. And not only, I'm going to say this, not only in the illicit drug culture, but also in the mental health field. Not all the drugs that people are taking are good for them. They're experimenting. They're throwing stuff into people's heads. They don't even know what the outcome of it is going to be. Some of those drugs are necessary and effective to bring people into some level of need. And there's no question about that. Not saying that. And that's not what sorcery is here. Sorcery is the deliberate deception of the mind through the use of drugs. And we are living in a most rampant culture of that than we have ever seen. And it's growing. It's not diminishing. It's growing to the point now where the government's giving it out. You know. And the results of it, this is part of the sin that we see in the last day. And their sexual immorality is another one, which is rampant in our culture. Or their thefts, their thievery. They refuse to repent of it. They're going to keep on doing what they're going to keep on doing. And it's no wonder that judgment will fall. What we see is sin being practiced in the culture, in our societies, down through the ages. There was always some restraint. There was a restraint, even on sexual immorality, to some extent. There were norms. There were, you know, this is normal. This is normal. That behavior, it went on, but it was not considered normal. Now, it's normal.
No, it's accepted.
It's more than accepted. It's embraced as the better part.
Yeah.
And we can see that we are a nation, if the end of the world doesn't come, the end of our society will come. We will fall like other cultures fell when they went to rampant immorality and everything else that we see listed here. Will fall, even if the world goes on for another 1,000 years, which I don't see how it could, but it could. It's possible. But cultures have fallen before because of immorality. most of the great empires of the world didn't fall from without, they fell from within. And we're moving there fast. We are seeing the complete breakdown of family structure, the complete breakdown of what is the bedrock of a society is being ripped to pieces. The fabric of it is going as quick as possible around us.
Right now, they're praising this family because they had a 13-year-old. They were waiting for him to make up his mind whether he wanted to be a boy or a girl.
Yeah, yeah.
And the media was praising them.
Oh, it was so beautiful, so wonderful.
Oh, they were praising just,
oh, yes, yeah, yeah.
Very sick.
Yeah, yeah. It's loony, there's no question. Yeah. So, I'm going to stop there. Have you had enough dose of that for one night? No nightmares tonight.
The way I dream.
When I went to Pentecost Church, it was hard or neck.
What's that?
What they preached on was real. All this was real, and
yes,
it was going to happen. Eh?
Yeah.
No, will it be or not going to be?
Yeah.
It is.
It is.
Yeah,
it's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's true. Now, even if all the world says, oh, this is not going to happen, that's not going to happen, not going to change. The decrees of God, the word of God stands forever.
Confirmation that religious, so-called religious groups trying to
change.
Yeah, yeah,
and
make it less.
Real story.
Mm. That's true, very true. Mm-hmm. So here's a couple of things to take from tonight. First of all, God is on the throne, and he's not going to be deterred from his plan and purpose. We might as well accept that the word of God is what it says, as Elsie said. This is what's going to happen. Secondly, we are still living in a time and where we can call people to repentance and to turn from their sin and repent and put their faith in Jesus Christ. So let's do that. Let's warn people. Flee from the wrath to come. Encourage them to put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. People need to know. If people are racing over a cliff, surely somebody would want, at least one person would want to try and stop them from going over and warn them. And thirdly, don't lose hope. Don't lose heart. If you belong to Jesus Christ, then God will see us safely through. We can see his divine protection here, even in the midst of this absolute horror storm. There's the protection of God.